Hey everybody, welcome back to the You're Not an Artist podcast. I've got an exciting interview today with Inks Davila. You guys probably know Inks. If you don't know Inks, then you've probably been hiding underneath a rock. Inks is, to put it lightly, he's a great artist. He's a muralist. He's a tattoo artist. He's a street artist. I've known him for a few years, you know, since I started in the art scene myself. But in the interview, we actually found out that we've sort of been around each other since we were kids, which is kind of funny. We were both kind of part of the same scene, knew the same people. So listen to the interview. It's kind of weird that we found that out through this conversation. But Inks has really been making a mark and pushing the mural scene here. I don't want to toot his horn to say that he's been the main influence, because there's also been, you know, the historic murals of downtown San Angelo. Like, of course, those murals are very prominent. But from a grassroots point of view, you know, Inks has been doing murals since probably the late 90s, based on some of the conversation we were having in this interview. So he's been building that momentum from a street art perspective. And he's been building that momentum a lot, and he's still carrying a lot of it. In fact, a lot of his work now is becoming in demand for a lot of big organizations, businesses, that type of stuff, because he's able to take what he's learned over, you know, the 20 some years that we said in the interview. I forget what number he said that he's been creating art. But, you know, he's gotten to a point now where there's a lot of demand for his work. He has a lot of influence over the art community in terms of the kind of work that he does. And you can see how it influences a lot of the other artists in town, simply because of his raw ability to take what he's learned and make incredible art. So Inks is a really incredible guy. I wanted to get to know him better. So if you want to know Inks about his past, about how he came to love art, some of the things that he's experiencing and has experienced and some of the plans he has for the future, you're going to want to listen to this podcast. So thanks to Inks for allowing me to come to his tattoo studio. He's got a little spot there on Beauregard. So go check him out over there if you want to get a tattoo from him. And I will link his store. He's got some merch up on his store. I'll link it in the show description. And without further ado, hope you guys enjoy the interview. All right, cool. I'm here with Inks. We're doing the interview. We're in the tattoo shop. The first question I have for you, man, is when did you fall in love with artwork? Do you remember?
Yes, I remember when I fell in love. I mean, I liked it, and then we fell in love. It was like a 4-month process. We went out to eat, had a couple of dinners, and then I fell in love with it. Nah, I was young. I was living in Mexico. I'm originally from Acuña, and I remember growing up as a kid, and my dad did like most immigrants, and he came to the United States to work, and of course my mom stayed at home. And in Mexico they have like neighborhoods, you know, almost like a lot with like 3 houses inside of them, and of course my mom would gossip with the neighbors, and I was of course a pesky little 5-year-old, you know, trying to get my mom's attention and stuff. And so she bought me a notebook to scribble in, and I remember one time I was messing with her, and she's like, here, go practice this. And she drew a 55 on the paper, and then she turned it into a face, like a woman's face. And I was like, my mind was blown. I was like, I know what a 5 and a 5 is. Like, we're raised to know 1, 2, 3, ABC. But you turn 2 numbers into a face. And it was almost like magic. Like, it's almost like science and art is like the closest thing to like real magic. So I did that. I went and practiced it. I came back. I was like, show me another one. And she did like that old school S and some other numbers and stuff. And after that, I was like, I can copy what you gave me. So then I started copying stuff on the TV, and anything came out on TV, I drew it, and I was like, just fell in love with it. I did it almost every day since I was 5 till now. And of course, the older I got introduced to different things, you know, like crayons and markers and like really good markers and stuff like that. And I just never lost the love for it, really. Just the stuff that you can create. You can look at a blank wall or a blank piece of paper and create buildings, environments, a waterfall, you know, a person's face. Like, you can add a blank piece of paper, a blank wall. That's the closest to magic there is, and I fell in love with that aspect of it.
Just being able to make whatever comes through your mind based on whatever it is that you're thinking about.
Making something out of nothing, really. You know what I mean?
Was your mom an artist, too?
No.
Did you think that she had a talent or a skill for it? Is that what kind of blew you away? Or is it she just was really kind of just making it up? And it, as a five-year-old, do you think it just kind of blew your mind?
It blew my mind what she did there, but now she never did art before that or after that.
Wow.
She was just a stay-at-home mom. She made three meals a day, clean my room, did the old-school traditional Mexican art.
Yeah. When did you start getting in? When did graffiti become like the thing that really captured you? Like, do you remember when that happened, or when you saw your first graffiti piece?
The first graffiti went back to my mom. My mom was tagging some house. Nah. Now, my mom, of course, being a Mexican immigrant, you know, she wanted to make some extra money. So she was helping out a lady here. She was like a seamstress. Like, they made like Sweet 15, like dresses and stuff. And they would do it at their house. And she would help her. And of course, when we didn't go to school, she had to take us there. Well, that lady had two sons. And they were here from America. And they were doing like graffiti. But this was the 90s. So they were like into gangs. So they would write their... my older brother and me would follow them and hang out with them, and they'll go graffiti around town and write their gang's name on there. And I fell in love with the fact that he could do whatever he wanted on the side of a wall. Like, he could draw on a face, or he could done something else, but he's like, I could put whatever I want wherever I want. I could put it on top of a car, a house, a building, and all that stuff. And I was like, kind of fell in love with that. But I never did it. I never wrote on anything. My brother did one time. He got caught. But then there's another guy. This happened when I was younger. I fell in love with that aspect of it. But I want to say a good 2 years later, 3 years later, there's a guy here in town. He was doing actual graffiti with the colors.
What was his name? Do you remember?
I want to say it's Carlos Trevino.
I think I know who you're talking about. Was he a DJ too?
Yeah, I know him by DJ Promote.
Yes, I remember him.
With DJ Promote from House of Fate.
Yes, I remember
him. And he brought the hip-hop aspect of it.
We used to go to those B-Boy nights at House of Faith.
Yeah, me too. I didn't B-Boy, but I did the graffiti. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing
it. I used to be there with Monkey and... do you know Matt Gonzalez? They called him Monkey back then. He was in gymnastics at Central.
The people I remember off the top of my head, because there was a lot of extra people there that I didn't know, what's his name? Is it Jeremy or Josh?
Jeremy? Kind of lanky, tall.
Like, I think he looked mixed.
Mixed, yeah.
I remember him.
Yep.
I remember Adrian.
Adrian, yeah, he was good too.
Lewis,
yep. Yeah.
Greg,
yeah, I remember Greg.
And their crew, like the Grasshoppers or something.
I don't remember their name, but yeah, they were there all the time.
And of course, all the graffiti people.
I was a popper. That's mostly what I did. I did a little bit of breaking, but mostly popping.
I would go sit in that table off to the corner, and we'd have our books and our markers.
The round table? Was it a round table? Yeah, I remember.
And there's people around there, and we all... So I didn't really pay too much attention to the B-Boy stuff. And I remember B-Boys from Abilene came down too.
Yeah, but the music was so good though.
Yeah, he's a really good DJ. He's actually traveling all over the place doing really good. He has like a Twitch channel.
Is he really? I'm gonna have to check him out. It's been essential. You know what we used to do is we used to, after the B-Boy nights, we would come to my house and we would watch Freestyle Session 6. We would watch like Pro-Am, all the breakdancing tournaments on VHS.
Oh, yeah. That's dope. Yeah. Man, that's crazy. You remember Neffy? DJ Two Monos or something like that?
Mm-mm.
He was DJing around that time, too. And sometimes I'll have like Christian rappers.
Mm-hmm.
They have Man of War or something like that. Mm-hmm. I remember one time, dude, I love that my parents, they weren't laid back. They just were like to get immigrants trying to survive. So sometimes, and they also came back that they came here with that mentality that kids can go out and play all day if they wanted to. And I remember going to IHOP with Man of War. He was from, I don't know if he was from Dallas or California. So he was a Christian rapper. And this dude named James Ramirez. And we were at IHOP eating like one morning. And I think about it now, I was just hanging out with them because of the love of hip hop. But I'm like, I wonder if my parents were like, where the hell is he at? You know what I mean?
they were tired. They were sleeping.
Right. They were like, where the hell is he doing that?
Yeah.
But yeah, they all went out to do great things, man. They're good inspirations. Like even that dude, James, I think he also goes by Fried Pixels. And
was he a graffiti artist too?
He did. They were all in the graffiti crew. Them together, Mo, James, and Halo, some other guys.
There was another guy that did those, I think it's where your murals are now, across from the freshman campus. There used to be some murals there, graffitied.
That was them.
That was them, right?
That was Mo, Haynes, and Halo's brother. I want to say Hint. I don't remember his name, but they're from Abilene.
So what would you do? Would you go out there with them to get practice with using aerosol spray?
No, I'll just hang out with them.
Just watch them?
Oh, yeah, because we actually were beefing in the beginning because I didn't know them. And, of course, everything's a competition. So once we started graffitiing, I saw them graffiti. Back to that question. I saw him do a wall, and it was super colorful, and he wrote his name. And around that time, there's like a graffiti wave in town. So there's a lot of people doing like vandalism, bombing and stuff around town. And of course I'm like, man, I want to do that. That goes back to falling in love with, I could write my name anywhere I want to. Or not just my name, I could do whatever I want, anywhere I want to. So I did not partake in any of that, allegedly. but that's what made me fall in love with graffiti, was the fact that you could put it anywhere and do the colorful stuff, the colors and all that stuff made me fall in love with that. But they were doing their thing, and then we were doing our thing. And I think after a couple of years, maybe he just found some respect for me, or I think he was just trying to get out the game. And they started talking to me. We started talking and linking up more, like as in friends and stuff like that. And so they're like, hey, we're going to go paint this wall. You want to come hang out?
Oh, really?
And I'll go hang out with them. But then, yeah, they would tell me things, but they never like sat down and taught me.
It was mostly just watching and just experiencing what they're doing.
Like, use this nozzle.
Right.
Like, them guys had a 5-gallon bucket full of tips.
Wow. And I didn't know you could have that many varied tips for aerosol.
Oh, man, that was a lot.
Really?
It's probably like, I don't want to say 100, at least 50 different type of nozzles out there.
Wow.
I'm calling them nozzles for the podcast sake, but they're called caps.
Caps. Yeah. Caps. Yeah. When were you working at the time when you started doing more graffiti around town in order to pay for supplies? Like, what did you do in order to continue being able to do what you wanted to do?
Good questions, man. Great questions. I could give you props for yeah, that, because even I think about it, I was like, how the hell was I getting these paints? I started painting when I was 13, or however old you are in 7th grade. And my mom started working. My dad, I don't know, they had some type of agreement, but my mom finally was able to get a job. So she would start working at this restaurant. She was a waitress. And the restaurant owner was like, oh, your son does paint. You think he could paint some sunflowers outside of my restaurant? And I like, well, buy the paint. I've never done it before, but we could do it. So they bought the paint. And of course, because I wasn't 18, back then you had to be 18. And I did the flowers and they liked them and they threw me like $50. And I told my mom, like, hey, buy me more paint. But buy me
the with the 50 colors. Bucks?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I went to Los Gallos Bakery because DJ Mo was selling graffiti, like magazines, markers, stuff like that out of the bakery.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I would go, I lived right by there, so I would go there to get tortillas, and I would see their tags on the pole. And I was like, oh, yeah, they were here, you know what I mean? So I went there because I guess I would think that they're like, okay, well, they must be cool to sell graffiti stuff out of it. So I was like, hey, do y'all want me to paint y'all sign? I just painted this other restaurant sign. If I paint y'all sign, I'll only charge y'all so much, you know, $100. And they said that was fine. So I painted their sign, and I used those $100 to go buy more paint. And I was riding around on my bike, and I went to this other place that did a postery on Chaburn. And I was like, you want to paint your sign? And blah, blah. And that's how that went, and I would buy the paint, and then go do my stuff.
Are any of the old murals you've done in town still around? Like, what's the oldest one that's still around that you've seen?
The oldest one, you really can't even see it because the sun beat it up so much, but it was on Chaburn, I want to say 22nd and Armstrong is the back of this guy's house. And it's a shed facing Armstrong, so you can see it from driving on Armstrong. But the sun's so beat up, it's super faded. But there was some guy's house that I went to school with, and I was like, hey, I noticed you live by the super busy street. Do you mind if we paint something on there? And he said that was fine. He's like, let me talk to my mom. They love paint.
Wow. And it
Shout outs to Rudy.
Is that what his name, Rudy?
Yeah.
Do you still have the house?
I don't know. The house is still there. The wall's still there.
Wow.
That's like the oldest one.
You've only done, when you started painting when you were like 13, 7th grade, was it all just spray paint, or did you ever do any brush work?
Man, I don't think I did any brush work outside of art class.
Really?
Yeah, that was my art.
Was it just something that you were just like, I'm just more comfortable with spray because it's easier, it's quicker?
I guess I didn't get into... Since I'm young, I'm 13, I mean, so I would think, so if you used a paintbrush, you're an artist, you know what I mean? Like, you would do landscapes or portraits, and I was like, I do graffiti.
But you still considered yourself an artist?
At the time, yeah, because I drew.
Okay.
Not because I painted with spray cans, because I drew, so I felt like I was an artist by drawing. But I felt like paintbrush was, like, a higher level... You know what I mean? Like, you gotta be sipping tea or something.
Yeah, you considered it a different kind of art, like,
yeah,
for a different group of people.
Yes.
And you considered graffiti more street, like, for people that were more like you? Is that kind of how you felt?
Yeah.
Okay.
And later I found out that, as I got older and stuck to the culture, I found out that there's actually a rift between street art and graffiti. Like, graffiti artists don't like street art.
So let's talk about the difference, because I think that's something that a lot of people get confused with, is the difference between graffiti art and street art. What, from your perspective, you don't have to quote anybody, but just from what you think, what do you think is the difference between street art and graffiti art?
Well, I picked up from different knowledges, like I said, different listening to different people, looking at art for myself, going to other cities and things like that. Graffiti is more based around letters and the actual act of vandalizing, like the criminal act, like, mm-hmm, at its purest form, it's illegal.
It's a counterculture.
Yes,
sort
it's
of
kinda like
art form.
Anarchy, punk rock.
Got
type,
it.
Type thing. So that's why, and that's more graffiti. So that's why people who do graffiti don't like to be considered artists, because they also look at it. And street art is like pretty much paintings in the street.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
With, like, permission.
Some with permission, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it would have to be permission, because you couldn't sit there and paint something for hours.
Right.
And not get in trouble.
And not get in trouble, sure.
Yeah, so most of them are permission. Most of them are festivals. Most of them are, you know, commission pieces. You know what I mean? So that's the difference to me, and that's the difference to a lot of people.
Do you get offended, or does it bother you if somebody were to consider you a graffiti artist or a street artist?
No.
It doesn't
matter. I don't have a problem with labels, because another thing that I've learned getting older is that we are who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the environment around us, or the people around us, or our peers, or our lifestyle,
mm-hmm,
you know, are gonna corner us. Not in a negative way, but shape us,
right,
to be something. So if someone calls me a street artist or graffiti artist, I don't mind.
When did tattooing become something that moved you from doing what you did on paper and even what you did on walls and stuff like that? When did tattooing enter that part of your life?
The same way art entered my life. Just that.
Your mom?
right? A tattoo my mom. My mom tattooed me. No, no, that passion, man. That passion, almost poetic in a way. Just the fact that you could see your art on somebody, and they're walking and breathing, moving around, and it's like living. You know what I mean? It's no longer on the paper. You go drawing on flat paper your whole life, and then now it's walking around on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And
Forever.
So I was always intrigued by it, you know, because anything that had to do with art, because people are drawing on people. So I thought, that's cool. But the time that my friend was like, hey, I made this tattoo machine myself. I was 17 at the time. And I was by H&H. And this guy's like, I did this on myself. And I know you draw, so do it on, you think you can do it on me too. And I was like, yeah, I'll try it. And I drew it. I didn't like it. It didn't come out too well. And he's like, now I'll give you another chance, but this time you can do whatever you want. So back then I was like intrigued with the smile now, cry later faces. So I did some smile now, cry later jokers. And I wrote like good times, bad times. And I saw him at a party and I was like, man, that looks so, like he was walking in front of me and I'm looking at him and I'm just like, hypnotized, you know? I'm like, dude, that's my drawing right there. Walking. Get to pump the keg. And that passion right there, and I'm like, dude, I wanna do that more on more people. And not only that, also like how happy it made him. He's like, hey, you wanna check out my piece? And he'll show it to other people and just that too. So I ordered my own stuff and then I started doing it on people at my house. And at that time, I was charging like 20. Sometimes I wouldn't even charge.
So you didn't apprentice with anybody whenever you started? Or did you eventually do that as well?
Nah, I didn't apprentice with anybody. And I met these guys there. I met this guy that was going to open up his own shop, and they did. And somebody told me they're like, man, they're looking for someone to apprentice. And I'm like, well, I know that guy, so I'm going to go over there and talk to him. And then they're like, yeah, we'll give you a chance to apprentice here. But at that time I was already had two kids around that time. I want to say I was like 19, 20. And they're like, if you apprentice here, you gotta leave your stuff at home. You can't practice at home, do it here. And at that time I just felt like attacked. I was like, nah, man, like you're trying to take money out of my kid's mouth. And you know, I need this as an extra, cause by that time I had my own place, you know, two kids in my own place. Like, this is extra income now. You know, it's no longer a, it's cool. It's still an art, but now it's almost like I have to do it.
It's like a job.
Yeah, almost. Now it's a job. So once they said that, I never went back. So I just probably spent a day or two there.
There's a lot of people that talk about your tattoos. I just saw a lady the other day and she was like, I got a links right here. And it was at Ambleside. She was like, yeah, this is an inks piece right here. You know, like everybody talks about, you know, your work, you know, especially the tattoo work, you know, they point it out. Like, so to your point, you know, like, I guess the pleasure you get out of tattooing is knowing that people are walking around with that and having experiences in your art kind of there along with that.
That's another thing I fell in love with, man. I remember one time, his name was David Demons. I hope I got it right. he took a picture, he did like some hiking. And he took this really good picture of him on the cliff with the sunset in the background. And I could see the tattoo on his chest I did. And I was like, man, like it's living with you. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I'm there with you. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I spend hours on that tattoo and we hung out, we talked. And now it's there traveling with you and experiencing the same experiences you're doing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So back to that passion is what I, so that's what I fell in love with. And nowadays, I want to go back to my murals and stuff.
I was about to ask that. How do you balance, or how were you able to balance continuing to do, you know, murals and street art and that type of stuff with doing tattooing? Did you feel like overwhelmed because you would, you know, somebody would hit you up for, you know, a mural, or you saw a wall that you had access to, but you knew you had to come to the shop to do tattooing? Like, how did you balance those two things together?
That's an ongoing story. Yeah. That's an ongoing story till this day. I still haven't found a balance yet. Because I also have kids. I hate that I keep saying but I really want to think about my answers. I have kids, and one of them's 6, and the other one's 11, and of course I have older kids and stuff, and I love being in their lives, you know? So it's hard to find time to be in their lives.
Do they ever come with you? Do they ever come to see you paint?
I have tried to take them, and man, they're bored.
They're bored?
Yeah, and I don't have any kids that are like, I mean, my daughter, Soraya, she's the oldest,
right?
She draws pretty good.
Is she the oldest?
Nah, she's the second oldest.
Oh, second oldest, okay.
She draws pretty good, and they're all have some type of artistic in them. Like, my son likes it. He loves his Play-Doh, so maybe he'll grow up and do some type of clay. But all they're artists in their own ways, but none of them are, like, really love to hang out with me and see me do it. Like, I took my daughter one time to the San Antonio mural I did, and she's just like, are you almost done? Are you almost done? And of course they're like, yeah, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll paint this wall until I'm done without any food. But, you know, of course I'm like, all right, I gotta stop, go get some McDonald's.
Does that, because, you know, I'm a dad too, so I can relate. I understand what that means, what you're talking about. Do you find that because you're so busy with different things you have going on in your life, tattooing, kids, all that stuff, do you find that it has an effect on how quickly you're able to paint? Like, you don't waste any time. You're just like, I got to get this done quickly. Is that on your mind? Or when you paint, are you just like, I just am in love with this. I'm in the process. So it's coming out and flowing really easily.
I know what you're saying. It doesn't affect, I want to say it doesn't affect the quality, but sometimes there's deadlines.
The pressure?
And people want it done. Mm-hmm. So instead of, like, let's say I do a feather, and, you know, you want to put the texture in the feather to make it look like a feather. If there's a deadline, or if I need to, there's a soccer tournament we need to get to, yeah, that feather might not have that many lines. You know? It's not going to be as textured as I would like it to be, but, real life comes into play sometimes, right. and it takes away from us. But I try my best to, when I do an art piece, it's almost like this is the only, it's like me time, and it's the only time I actually get to do what I want to do. So I try to make my schedule to where I'm only focused on that thing and then push everything else away. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it doesn't, like, come back and bite me in the ass. You know?
Yeah, I get it. So I guess with all that experience you have with what you've been doing, it, how many years now would you say total you've been painting?
As far as murals?
I would say art in general, in terms of, like, actually in exchange for money. I guess from that first job you did with the flower.
Nah, I was 13, so I'm 39. I do the math. What's that, 26 years?
Yeah, so 25 plus you've been...
25
plus. Do you stay really busy with jobs, like either with tattooing or murals or stuff like that?
Yes. It's like an understatement.
Okay.
I'm so busy, man. Because I'm going to complain, but at the same time, I'm not going to complain because, like, right now, I just finished those two big murals for the Children's Advocacy Center. That took like a month and a half. And I had to go on their schedule. And that was really hard on my schedule. Mm. But they asked me in the beginning, like, is this okay with you? And I was like, I'll make it work.
Right.
But I also needed to do two other murals, which one was Denala, one was another. I have to put up that Frida back up on Chadburn. Those two are just waiting and stalling. Tattoos every day. You know, someone asking me, can you get me in today? Can you get me in this weekend? I actually had a tattoo today that was going to go into this podcast, but he canceled. So it worked out. And now I'm about to start a new mural off of Chadburn. I'm doing the Willie Nelson. And now I'm just waiting for me to do it, you know? And of course, I got to finish the wall next to CFC. And I also have to design a mural that's supposed to go up on Loop 306 for the MLK. And that design needs to be designed before March something, You know, and I'm painting a painting for artists for artists, and that needs to be done by before the 7th. I think I've probably missed the deadline to turn in the painting. I'm working on that, and I have to make a logo for my wife, and I have to get ready to paint this wall on Saturday.
Where do you find the time?
I don't, but it's also a blessing. You know what I mean? Because people say they want to do what they love as a living.
Right.
So every time I wake up or anytime I want to like complain, I'm like, this is what you wanted.
Right. Right.
This is what you wanted, right?
Does it come easy though? Like whenever, you know, those jobs come up and, you know, whether it's tattooing or a mural, does it come easy? It's just the time and that it takes to do it. Does the rest of the creativity, I guess that's the question I want to ask is, does your creativity ever feel like it's being impacted by how busy you are? Does it ever feel like you're, you know, running out of creativity to do the things you have to do?
I do get nervous as far as coming up with the creativity for any project I'm doing. But for some reason, maybe that's like the, I don't know, the talent, or maybe just doing it from an early age. Once I get in front of that wall, I'm not too scared. That even if I don't have nothing at the time, once I get to the project, the ideas start pouring out.
Okay.
And then I just tackle it little by little until it's complete.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Looking at like how much of an impact you have now, do you feel like you're a lot more of your artwork in the last couple of years because the mural scene in San Angelo is growing a lot quicker? Do you feel like that has a lot to do with it? Is because of the culture that's changing here that you're starting to get busier, or has it always been like this?
Oh, that's you said it pretty much. The fact that the town's growing and like the art scene in this town. And I think it's natural that the artists in this town are getting, not chosen, participate. You know what I mean? They're like, hey, we're trying to make this art capital
right
get even bigger. They can't do it on themselves, so they need artists. And then, you know, they're like, well, artists are in this town, you know what I mean? So it's their time to shine. So the fact that they're getting bigger and including me or you, you know, it's like natural.
Yeah. So we're busier.
Super busier now. I was always busy, but now the projects have gotten bigger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I've always painted signs or painted murals or painted kids' rooms or things like that. But now I don't have time to do the kids' rooms. Or I don't even advertise that I do them. Or small businesses. Or, you know, back then I used to jump on anything. So I would stay pretty busy. Like if someone needed a sign painted, like we just wanted to say, you know, we sell pork rinds, you know what I mean? Like, okay, let me do it. I'll do it, you know, $50, $100. But now the murals got bigger. They take longer. Now they're starting to stack on top of each other. Projects got bigger, so I feel like we're getting busier.
Yeah.
We can go to the back.
You want to go? Yeah, we can go to the back. Okay, we changed rooms real quick because the tattoo shop's getting busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got some tattooers coming into work. Yeah, the question I wanted to ask you now was about, we were talking a little bit before we were recording and you were talking about wanting to be a little bit more stable in terms of establishing something here that you could do more actively, but it's because you travel to some places to do murals and projects like that. Like where are some places that you've been to, that you've had to go really far to do like a mural?
The farthest I've been to do a mural was St. Louis. And they have
was that for a festival or?
Yeah, they have a festival every year. It's called Paint Louis. And you can look it up, but it's pretty much the walls along the river. I think they're like dam walls or something in case there's flooding or something. But that wall stretches probably like, I don't know, don't quote me, but probably like 3 miles. And it's huge.
Wow.
It's like 2 stories high. And there's so many artists get on that weekend and paint. And that was the farthest I've been to paint a mural.
Where do you usually go?
Really, Odessa. I've been doing a lot of murals in Odessa.
Really?
Yeah.
So I guess they're art scene is starting to grow in terms of murals as well?
Yes, they have. And they're starting to do festivals there. They're trying to do more and more festivals. They're actually having one this weekend, but since I'm doing the San Antonio one, I'm not going to be able to make it to theirs. Because each one's trying to do like their thing, kind of like San Angelo. You know how they have the art crawl, they have the...
Right.
All those things, all these other cities are trying to do like the same thing.
What is it with that? Like we're starting to see now that there's more of appreciation for visual art and outdoor art specifically. What do you think happened? Like what was it that you think suddenly started to gain more interest in murals and visual art?
I think the world happened. That's what happened.
You mean like technology, like the internet?
I think technology, I think COVID, I think the government, I think the AI, I think. It's like these comedians are starting to get super famous.
Right, right.
And because sometimes they're like truth tellers, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? They get on there and just speak their truth, or sometimes they say some things you wouldn't say in the workplace or somewhere
right.
in normal. And they're so intrigued by that. And I think it's the same thing with art. Like people want to gravitate to more real things now mm-hmm. because of the world's getting a little more faker.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Faker food, fake things, you know, and I feel like art and stuff like that speaks to the soul.
Mm.
And I think people, that's what they're soul searching, to feed the soul.
Do you think all visual arts is starting to trend that way? Like tattooing, murals, paintings, like everything?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, because now I follow a lot of artists and they're starting to do like murals on corporations and things like mm-hmm. that. Like I think it's weird. What was it? It was this artist. They invited him to, I think, the Facebook walls, like the mm-hmm. office.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, why would they want that? You know what I mean? If you come to work and do whatever you do, why do they need to see like a beautiful mural? And I think it's to help them with their morale, you know what I mean? Help mm-hmm. them escape a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they see it. I think everyone sees that's what they need. That's what the soul needs.
Right. Do you think that the art scene here, particularly in San Angelo, is busy or big enough for you to be able to stay here without having to travel as much anymore? Do you think that's where we're headed?
I hope that's where we're headed. I can see the potential of it getting big. I think it's going slow. I think it's big already. But I think compared to other cities, they move so fast, you know what I mean? Like they have festivals like every other week. They have a festival here. They're doing bigger productions. And I think what's holding us back is that they're trying to stick to a certain style. You know what I mean? Certain aesthetic? Like aesthetic, yes.
You mean like Instagrammable stuff that you can take pictures in front of? Is that what you mean?
Stuff like that, and stuff like they'll coincide with the town. You know, the town's like a country town.
Okay.
You know, so rodeo based, you know, livestock based, you know, stuff like that. But I'm like, there's so many styles out there. It's almost like playing only one music here in town.
Mm.
There's so much music out there. There's so many styles of art out there. And until they give those people the chance, they're really just hurting our capability of the art scene. You know, it's almost like they're trying to control it.
Right. But eventually I think that's going to change just because the artists that are coming out of high school and ASU don't seem to be conforming to those things.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I mean, some of it is, but not much of it. There's a lot more different ideas that are coming out from the high schools in terms of the kind of artwork that's going to end up becoming more mainstream in San Angelo. Do you see any other...
Well, then you hurry up because we're getting too old in that.
I was about to say that because, you know, there are, in terms of street artists, what I would consider street artists here in town that are active, I can't think of many. Can you think of more than the ones that I could think of? Because it's only like three or four that I can think of in town that seem to be active in terms of the kind of public art that they're doing. Che.
Tunes.
You.
I don't know if I consider Zoe. I don't know if she goes by Zoe or Zoe.
Zoe, yeah.
I don't know if I'd consider her a street artist, but she's definitely a unique artist. I like her style.
Yeah.
It's not like the other people's
style. Right, right.
And I do like that about her.
I can't think of
any. It goes hand in hand with what we're just saying, because the artist you just said that would kill some stuff, like Che, Tunes, they can't because they have, they can't pay their bills off the art because the art scene is still going slow. If the art scene picked up, they would get more jobs, they would make more money, then they can, you know, pay their mortgage, their truck, their insurance, blah blah, you know. But because they have to have jobs and they can't get to projects, or they can't seek out projects, or they can't even be like, hey, I'm available for a project, for anyone who's looking for something.
Do you think the pay rate for public art, like murals and stuff like that, doesn't allow for that to happen either?
Do you think that's
will the amount that they're willing to pay right now?
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah, unfortunately, the money makes the world go around, and if they paid out more, like almost like the norm in other cities,
right?
Because you can't be like, well, that's Houston, this is San Angelo. Yeah, but we're doing almost the same caliber of art as they are.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're doing big scale. We're doing big colors. Some of our stuff is better than the stuff they had in bigger cities.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, I'm not an economy major. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it's supposed to be, but maybe that's affecting the pay. Mm. But yeah, the pay needs to definitely go up because it's only bring out more artists.
I'm sure that somebody's probably going to listen to this and disagree with me. When I say this, but if the artists decided to stop taking on certain jobs for the amount of pay that they're getting, I think that it would have to force the people that are, you know, allocating a certain amount of money that they have, but they only provide a percentage of it because they think that's what it's worth, the artists would start getting paid more.
Yes.
That's just my opinion. I don't necessarily think that's reality completely, but
I don't even want to say that they're thinking that's what it is, because that they know what it is. They've been around. They do the research. Their job is to do the research, so they know how much they should be paying, but they want to keep it at a certain cap
budget. Yeah,
certain cap, so they can get more of it.
Right,
it's almost like a business.
Right,
you know what I mean? Like, hey, we can make this food tastes great. We pay this much ingredients and this much of the best highest class ingredients,
right?
And make it taste great, but then we won't get as much money back.
Right.
But if we can make it with the cheapest material, put it out, we could get a lot more back. And then that's the problem.
What cities is Odessa paying more?
Oh, excuse me.
No, you're good, man. Is Odessa paying more?
Odessa is paying more, and they're also not putting boundaries.
What do you mean by boundaries?
Ever since I've painted here in town, every time I paint something, they're like, we don't want this, 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 and this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a list of things. You know what I mean? I go to Odessa, they're like, this is the thing we want on this wall, do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
However you express that theme, it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this is the theme we want.
Do you think the art comes out better that way?
Oh, yeah. For sure. Because I can do whatever I want. I can use whatever colors I want. Mm-hmm. I can do flip it however I want. Sometimes you have to add things you know, you got your main character, but you also have to add things to make it better, you know, to spice it up. I don't know what you want to say.
Do you think that's very similar to how tattoos work?
Yes. Yes and no, because yes, for most people coming to tattooing, the client's gonna tell them, this is what I want, this, you know, etc. But me, once people have I guess I wouldn't say respect or trust, or they're like, we know you've been doing it for a while, so I want something on this arm, Native American,
right?
You do whatever you want. As they gave you the theme, now you do whatever you want, and that's kind of rolling out on murals, you know what I mean? It's the same thing. They're like, hey, this is kind of what I want. You do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to do your best work.
Yeah.
Do your best work when there's not
restrictions.
Restrictions.
Yeah. We're kind of getting towards the end half of the podcast, but I wanted to ask if there was, I wanted to talk about what plans you have that you want to talk about. If you don't want to talk about those things, that's okay. But is there anything you really, really want to talk about or something that I didn't bring up yet that you want to speak on? If not, I'm going to ask you about your plans.
I think everybody should have drive-through windows. You know, I'm tired of getting down to get my food. Now I'm just playing. what I'm working on right now on this town, and it comes, I guess, with age. You know, I'm getting older, and I've also noticed the guys I grew up with, like the skateboard guy or like the skating scene.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed Kevin is doing a
Kevin Little
Skate Angel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he's trying to. I want to do what he's doing.
Nurture the street art community.
Yes, the next generation. Because I could keep it to myself and then just keep doing art till I pass, you know. But I'm like, this town. I'm always complaining this town doesn't have a scene, a graffiti scene or a hip hop scene.
Right.
And I've tried. You've been there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We've tried to do jams here and there,
yeah.
But none of them stayed consistent. You know, mm-hmm. So I want to have something that can produce some consistency. So I wanted to do that. The only thing I could think of was like a graffiti park. I really would like to have like a hip hop school and have like different rooms. Like, okay, this one teaches. You ever seen that movie Breaking?
Yeah, of course.
Like the one room did like classes for dancing. One did music.
Right.
One did art. You know, that would be the dream, you know, and I wish people wouldn't, you know, they invest in all these nonprofits. I would like them to invest in me because some kids like a lot of kids go to House of Faith, right? Mm-hmm. And they're a nonprofit, but you know, their mission is to teach them about Christ and things like that. And they do other things for them. But I'm like, we have a bunch of other kids who don't. Not saying they don't go to church, and they probably go to church on Sunday, but they have other things they're interested in. So who's nurturing them? You know what I mean? So hopefully they don't go out to the streets and learn things out in the streets. But I would like to do something graffiti-based, hip-hop-based, some type of graffiti park at first, and have people invest in that, donate to that, and then we can start building off of that, maybe get classes going. Let me teach you how graffiti, let me teach you how hold a can, different caps, you know, like you were saying earlier, like I didn't know there's that many caps. Well, who's gonna teach you about those caps?
Right.
Like you get on YouTube, but it's just like tattooing. You get on YouTube for tattooing, but there's a way, pressure, the way you hold it, that you can't visually see how hard he's pressing down on that cap. You know what I mean? But if I'm there, I could be like, oh, I could tell you're spraying too hard because the way the paint hit the wall. You're too far away from the wall. You need to get closer. Those are things that these videos sometimes don't teach you because they're just trying to maybe sell you some paint or something. So
right.
That's what I would like to do, is help figure something out. We could help out the next generation and have some type of scene here in this town. Because the town's getting bigger.
Right.
And these kids don't have somewhere a scene to go to. They're going to go to something negative. Who knows? Maybe drugs, maybe something else.
Right.
So we need something for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. I think that even the kind of art that they'd be willing to make would probably be more, I don't necessarily think it'd be more powerful, but I think it would be more relevant because of what they've been through. I remember Columbine, but I don't ever remember having to go through training for a school shooting when I was in high school. Like that never happened for me and you. That didn't start happening until like the late 2000s, 2010s for sure. People now, they're definitely training for that.
I mean, neither.
I don't even know what that's like. I have no idea what that is like for them. Or going through COVID and
yes.
remote like learning. I never could have imagined what that would have been like in high school. That would have been crazy.
I'm kind of scared of that though, because what if they never touch the art because they're getting all their satisfaction from their digital satisfaction?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that the artists, the kids that have been through it, they want to talk about it. Some of them may not be writers. Some of them may not be comfortable in front of the camera. A lot of them might be more visually artists, you know, inclined to either do sketches, graffiti, street art, murals, paintings, whatever. But to your point, I think that if they had some training on the different kinds of art they could do, because when I was a kid, I had an interest in art, but I didn't know you could do anything with it. I thought that you had to be trained formally from a young age and then hit the gallery scene. And then I couldn't even think about what came after that. So I didn't pick it back up until I was in my late 20s that I realized that I really enjoyed it. And after that, I already been in the military for years. And so, you know, I think the young kids nowadays here, especially, they need to see artists out doing things.
You can make a living.
For a living. Art. Yeah, for a living. And then show them how to build up to that, whether it's, you know, murals, whether it's paintings in the studio, tattooing, you know, like it's all legit forms of artwork that you can make a living off of, but they don't think that they can do it because nobody is around them that can show them. Either their parents are working two jobs, you know, like they're busy, like they don't have that influence. Like, you know, I feel like maybe we were lucky to be able to see some sort of artist like that at like House of Faith whenever, you know, that was going around for a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's hard. So yeah, I think a program like that would be beneficial to the youth here, because I think they've got some interesting things to say, to talk about. Yeah.
Because some people can't afford proper training. Like, let's say if you... when I was growing up, I always wanted... My dream was to work on Pixar or something, do that. But then I was going to school and getting in trouble. I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to go to college. My parents can't afford college.
Right.
There's no way I'm ever going to make it to college. So I decided not to even go that route. But people need to know that there is other routes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Luckily, I'm successful here in my town. I would like to be more successful, but I didn't ever get to finish the story back on my friend who started Fried Pixels and moved. He went to college for all the art and digital stuff. And if you look at his Instagram now, he shows like what his portfolio things mm-hmm. he's worked on. And he worked on the Miles Morales movie. He worked on Wednesday.
He's from here?
Yeah. He did the digital art.
Where does he live now?
Not 100%. Not here.
He needs to come back. At least for a minute, you know.
Yeah, he needs to come back.
Teach a workshop or something.
But that's, if I had a class, maybe I can get him here. Because people would invest and be like...
Right.
Because if I can be like, hey, bro, can you come to Nashville and teach a class? He'll be like, oh, it'll be hard to. But if I'm like, okay, what if I pay you to come teach a class?
Right.
And he's like, I'll make it work. You know, we'll sign some contracts. We'll get some airplane ticket. You know,
sure.
But all that takes money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and I'm sure he would be more incentivized to come down and talk to him. But
right.
Yeah, it's... His stuff's inspirational. You know, the fact he's here from San Angelo, he went to Lakeview with me. We used to trade sketchbooks. I'll draw his sketchbook. Goes until, and then now he's working on these big projects, these big movies. I'm like, that's crazy. You know, so
it's possible.
It's easy to be taught to these kids. Like, hey, that's not, don't give up. You know, there's other ways to doing this.
Right.
Like, you could go the proper way, you could go this other way, but at the end of the day, they can still be successful.
They just need to see it's possible.
Yeah.
Is what we're talking about. Wow. That's cool, man. Well, I'm going to end the podcast there, man. Thank you so much, dude. That's so cool to catch up. I didn't even know that we went to House of Faith at the same time.
That's great.
You were sitting over at the table and I was breaking with, you know, Adrian and Jeremy and all them. So that's wild that you were there around the same time. But when I came from Germany, right before I came
and
to
Frost. You remember Frost?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I remember Frost. He would spin on his knuckles. Yeah, I remember when he was doing that. When I came from Germany, the Germany hip-hop scene was mirroring what was happening 10 years prior in the United States. So, like, in the late 90s, they were on what was happening in the 80s in the United States. So they were mirroring what was happening 10 years prior. So over there, it was, like, being part of, like, the...
They still do that, though.
They still do that.
Like,
but
Wu-Tang is super big out there.
Yeah, the experience over there is more of like the raw hip-hop. It's not the commercial hip-hop. It's,
oh, yeah.
So that when I came here, that was the experience I was coming here with. And, you know, breakdancing, going to like Battle Year, like all that stuff is what we were doing over there. And then when I came here, that I tried to find the b-boy scene here in town, and that's what I gravitated to immediately.
But aren't you happy there was a b-boy scene?
I was surprised that there was a b-boy scene, because when I heard we were coming to San Angelo, Texas, I was like, oh no, like, I don't even know where that is. Like, I'm sure it's like very like country, you know, rural.
People riding horses.
But I was surprised. Yeah, I mean, even with the fact that San Angelo wasn't as big as it is now, back then I was still surprised that they had a b-boy scene. And it was really, it kind of saved me, because I was like, it was my senior year when I came here.
You know, that was cool, and I'm glad you got that experience. But also, a couple of years before that happened, it was real big.
Was it really?
Yeah, like people have, people weren't as good.
but they were doing it like at pep rallies and stuff, right?
Yeah, and they'll have like at the Sunset Mall one time. There's a guy walking around with a cardboard, with a big old cardboard really? Box. And he's pretty much this crew of kids are looking for other crews. Because, I mean, we don't have cell phones or computers, so right. They're like, we know other kids come to the mall, so we're going to take our cardboard and be ready to battle other kids at the mall. It was such a dope scene, man.
Wow.
And I think that's why those other countries gravitate to 10 years back or the 90s, because then the old school stuff is more pure.
Pure, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's why I think almost every element of life, people always go back. Like, people like antique cars, people like those times back in the day, things were more pure, and we're losing that. And that goes back to, we need somebody or people, leaders, or people who want to step up and want to bring that purity back.
Yeah, I agree. That's cool. Thanks, man. I appreciate you taking the time. And I think people
appreciate choosing me, to be honest.
I think people wanted to hear, man. They wanted to hear where you were, what you, you know, where you came from.
I was just telling myself it's a positive informant. That's what it is. I did another podcast. It got kind of wild.
All right.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, buddy.